Hello, respected viewers. I'm George from Ireland. This is talking about a very sensitive and disagreeable topic, which is the Rochdale child grooming scandal. So Rochdale's this town just outside Manchester. And for years, in the early noughties, a number of girls in their early teens were molested by men. About 42 men were convicted of crimes in connection with this. So what they do, they'd often befriended young girls. Sometimes they were in care. They weren't properly housed or whatever. Sometimes had bad, negligent, abusive parents. And they were often from lower socioeconomic categories, which has meant because they hardly ever got gifts, they were particularly susceptible to being buttered up by these men, showering them with praise, children who'd never been told, I love you or you're beautiful or something like that. And unfortunately, they could be very easily tricked by men with the worst possible intentions, who were not being affectionate or avuncular, but then molesting them when they're below the age of consent, even going so far as to rape. I mean, it's very unpleasant to have to say that. Anyway, it all came out in the wash in 2012, but people should have known about this much earlier. And these men received sentences on average of 11 years, and some of them much, much longer. So there have been documentaries about that. So some people say that the police's response was inadequate. A stop could have been put to this much earlier. So all of the men convicted, quite a few of them were of South Asian extraction, like Pakistani, Afghan. I think some of them were other races. Is this relevant? Maybe it's not, because it's completely wrong to imply that the whole British Pakistani community is guilty, or they were mostly Muslims, that all Muslims are guilty or something like that. That's bigotry. And unfortunately, this plays into the hands of racists and Islamophobes who'd like to tar them all the same brush. Just as an individual, there's no guilt by association. If someone of my ethno-religious community commits a crime, I'm not guilty of that. So just as an individual, we mustn't be saying, well, you didn't do it, but a member of your group did it, your cousin, some of the same faith as you, some of the same ethnicity as you, therefore will get you. No. So we can only convict individuals of what they do. Some people say, okay, well, it's cultural, it's not just personal, because somehow they got the idea it's permissible to do this mostly to white British girls, some who are not, and so on. So it's all deeply distasteful what went on. And indeed, statements have been read out in mosques to say, you know, the Muslim community were completely against this. Don't let anyone let you think this is remotely permissible, and so forth. So it's nothing to do with Islam. It's completely un-Islamic and so on. So some of the men were dual nationals, both Pakistani and British. Some of them were denaturalized and deported to Pakistan. Now, this I disagree with. Now, they committed a grave crime. They've been punished with that, with years imprisonment. Some people say it was inadequate. It ought to be longer. But people shouldn't have their nationality taken away from them, because a white Briton, an indigenous Briton, he or she would have another nationality usually, and therefore can't have it taken away and can't be stripped of it and can't be rendered stateless. Even if people commit murder, they don't have their citizenship taken away. They might be serving a life sentence without possibility of parole, and so on. So I know the thing is, yes, but when they get out of jail, it's safer for the public if they're deported. Well, it's less safe for the public in Pakistan, where I suspect the police and social services are even less able to deal with this. Now, there's also the accusation that the police force and social services were worried about being accused of racialism or Islamophobia, and therefore they're hesitant to intervene. And indeed, this was thrown at them. They were told they're racist for doing this. So the leader of this abuse ring, Shabir Ahmed, he claimed that the girls were prostitutes. I mean, even if that was true, they were the victims. They didn't have agency. They were minors at the time, and prostitution's only legal over the age of 18, not the age of consent, which is 16. And I know a lot of people want to raise the age of 18 and so on. So Shabir Ahmed, he was really King Evil, and he got 19 years for all his crime. So there'll be numerous reports, a Home Affairs Select Committee, Operation Routh and so on, and there've been several more police operations to try and put a stop to this. And people talking about Asian grooming rings, people from like the British Indian community, or mostly Hindus and Sikhs, or the Hindu and Sikh communities to say, don't say Asian because people wrongly think it's us and so on. Asian, that's 60% of the world's population. What are you talking about? South Korean? like Lebanese. No, don't say that. And maybe race is irrelevant. Remember one of my dons saying, if someone commits a crime, don't state the nationality, because all that does is it causes a spike in prejudice against them. You know, I know Irish people sometimes have committed crimes, maybe above average level in Great Britain or other countries, maybe below average level. But, you know, I shouldn't be penalized because of that. So it just makes things life quite uncomfortable from people from the British Pakistani community. Okay, and it prejudices against people of South Asian descent. And if a South Asian man is accused of this, people will say, well, that's evidence against him. There we go, another one of them, like, you know, Catholic clergy. I'm sorry to say, you know, ideally there'd be no molestation of children at all, but in the Catholic Church it was more prevalent than in society in general. And therefore, when a Catholic priest is charged, even I find myself saying, there we go, another one. Which is wrong of me, and I must dispel that prejudice from my mind and approach it with the same open-mindedness, the same assumption of innocence if someone is a Catholic priest as if he is not. And then there was the report by Professor Alexis J, but some people say this was inadequate. So recently it's become a highly contentious political issue. Now, methinks that when the Conservative and Unionist Party was in office, Labour wanted another public inquiry, not a local one, a national one. And the Conservative government refused. Now Labour took office on the 5th of July last year, and now the Conservative leader Kevin Badenoch is saying, "Let's have a report to get to the bottom of this." At Prime Minister's Questions Time on Wednesday, she said, "Is the Prime Minister sure we know everything about it? Because obviously he isn't sure. So therefore, this will say, well, let's have another inquiry." I mean, I just think we have too many public inquiries. It's a banquet for barristers or whoever they are involved in these things. It's huge amounts of public money. They make various recommendations, and sometimes legislation follows. But you know, we don't have these inquirers or members of the board making the decisions, and we shouldn't do. It's up to politicians. They've got democratic legitimacy. So politicians could amend the law as it is anyway. There's this new child protection bill being debated in Parliament. Labour's got this huge majority, 411 members of Parliament. You only need 326 in the House of Commons to command a majority. They could easily pass it anyway. The Conservatives have tabled an amendment, and people say, oh, that'll stop the whole bill. It won't stop the whole bill. It might slow it down a little bit, but Labour can easily railroad this through. Labour says that the Conservatives are exploiting this. I haven't he quite heard this, but I'm sure I heard this yet, and accuse the Conservatives of trying to smear the entire British Pakistani community or Muslim community, appeal to the basest prejudices of race and religion. And the Conservatives would say that Labour are cowardly, they're refusing to face up to this issue, they're not keeping children and safe, okay? Because nobody wants this to happen to a child, no right-thinking person, and therefore nobody wishes to accuse of being soft on this issue. So therefore, endless public money has to be thrown in it, and there has to be ever more legislation. I mean, the only way to keep all children safe in that sense is not have them interact with men or indeed women at all, which would be preposterous. And we see how badly this can go because, you know, as a man, I think mustn't be too nice to a child, not be giving a presents to a child unless like a close blood relative. Even then, is it dodgy? Can't smile with a child, crack a joke, lest people say it's grooming, which is to say, being pleasant, sweet talking a child, charming or whatever, giving gifts, because people would then have the worst possible intention towards that child, having created a sense of indebtedness or affection or whatever. And that's how the Jeffrey Epstein abuse ring functioned. Goodness. Now, it makes me cast my mind back to my school days. There was a janitor in the boarding house called Peter, the nicest chap we ever met. And even though all super snobby, everybody thought it was salt of the earth. Nobody had a bad word to say about this, the late Peter. And he would like to watch footer, would ask boys in the boarding house, come to his flat. He'd be watching football, drinking beer, be smoking. He wouldn't give them beer or cigarettes. And that was fine. And nobody batted an eyelid, and we shouldn't have. And there's absolutely no suggestion everything, anything untoward ever happened. But that wouldn't be allowed today, saying, oh, here he is, this man around 50 with these boys in their mid-teens. Does he have dishonorable intentions? Is he molesting them? Absolutely not. He's as innocent as a lamb. I would trust him with my life. But sadly, that wouldn't be allowed now. Because there'd be the presumption of guilt. It would be unsafe for him because tongues would wag and foul rumors would go, and people would put two and two together, make five. The most lurid rumors would be disseminated. And it's very sad we've got to this stage that men can't show a physical affection towards children, even if they're like not one's daughter or son, even nieces and nephews. That's dangerous. And I don't do it. And I would counsel men not to do it because it's more than your life is worth. You could be accused of an unspeakable crime. So sadly, we just have to play it safe. Anyway, I don't think we need another one. I actually think Labour's right on this one. We hear so much about this issue. I mean, I know it's a grave crime, but we have very extensive legislation now, and no legislation will stop this completely. So I suspect it's just more window dressing. It's just more talking tough. And people say you shouldn't play politics with this. Well, you shouldn't play politics with anything. Politicians should be there trying to make life better for people by broadening our freedom, by keeping us safe at the same time, by spending money sensibly, but not too much, and doing things by their own lights, what they think is the common weal, and not to maximize electoral advantage, but so often is simply to gain ground, to deny territory to the enemy, to grub for votes as despicable demagogues and liars that most of them are, is a very dispiriting scenario. Thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, George Callahan 79@gmail.com. Goodbye.